Justice demands that lawbreakers pay the consequences. You don't have laws, and then if you break them, nothing happens. If you don't get enough sleep, your body pays for it. There are laws, if you don't exercise, your body pays for it. If you eat the wrong foods, your body pays for it. You are free on this planet to do anything you want to. God gives you that freedom, but you are not free from the consequences.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a brand new series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Now in just a bit, we're going to let you know how to get this complete series on CD or downloadable MP3s. Perfect for when you're on the go. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Word of Victory.
How many of you have ever used this phrase? I just can't seem to get it all done. Let me see your hands. Okay. I just can't seem to get it all done. How many of you ever said this? I need more time. Yeah, right. Okay. Because we live in a broken planet, fortunately, you don't have to live here forever. You're not going to spend eternity on this planet. That's actually good news. I don't want to live forever on a place where there's sorrow and suffering and sadness and sickness. I want to go to a place where it's perfect. But because you have a limited amount of time on this earth, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to die with unfinished business. People say, if I could just get it all done. You're not. You're not going to get it all done. You just need to accept that fact. You're not going to get it all done. You will end your life having things that you wish you had done that you didn't, could have done but you didn't, should have done, whatever, because you just don't have enough time. Only one person in all of history died with finished business, with no unfinished business, and his name was Jesus, of course. Now, the world is filled with unfinished projects and unfinished buildings and unfinished dreams. I remember one time years and years ago, I took my kids to see Mount Rushmore, and they thought it was really cool, but I remember Matthew saying to me, Dad, when are they going to finish it? Because, as you know, Rushmore is not finished. The guy ran out of money. He died. It was left unfinished. His son took over, the guy who built Mount Rushmore, worked on it 4 months and gave up. And it's one of our national monuments is unfinished. And that's what Matthew noticed. As I said, you're going to die with some unfinished business. And only one person has ever died having completed everything he came to do, and that was Jesus. Now, this was the sole goal of his life. Notice there in your outline, for his entire life, Jesus had one overarching goal, John 4:34. I must finish the work that God gave me to do. Now, fortunately for you, fortunately for me, he did. He did finish. And today we come to the sixth word of Jesus from the cross. We've been looking at the seven last sayings of Jesus that he said while he was dying on the cross. The last three, he says them right in the row. I'm thirsty, it is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit. We'll look at that next week. But we come to the sixth one in John 19. This is seen on the cross. Knowing that all was now completed. I have to come back to that in a minute. He's hanging on the cross. Jesus, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And you know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And after Jesus was given a drink, he said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. I think it's important he says he gave up. He voluntarily gave it up. Now, I call this sixth phrase, it is finished, the word of victory. The word of victory. Now, throughout history, there have been a lot of victorious statements when, you know, MacArthur says, I will return, and he goes back to the Philippines, and when Neil Armstrong lands on the moon, and he says, the eagle has landed, that's a statement of victory. Were any of you alive when Neil Armstrong said that? The eagle has landed. Yeah, I was still a baby. I was just, in fact, I think I was in my mother's womb at that time. But after a big battle, after a great game, after a major contest, when a war is concluded, there are great statements of victory. But this statement, these three words, it is finished, is the greatest statement of all time. In fact, I want to tell you that these three words are the three most important words in your life. When Jesus said, it is finished, it determined your future. If Jesus had not said these three words, you wouldn't be here today, you wouldn't be headed to heaven, and the world would be a very, very different place. These are the three most important words in history. It is finished. What's he talking about? What is this? What are these three words? It is finished. And the Bible says that Jesus shouted it. In fact, it's the reason he asked for some water, because he was his parched throat, he was thirsty, but he wanted to be able to shout out this phrase. So after they'd given him a drink, he shouts out, it is finished. Now the irony of this statement is that when Jesus said it, nobody understood it at that moment. The Romans, the passerbyers, the lookers, even the believers didn't get what was going on. When Jesus shouted out, it is finished, the Romans probably were thinking, yeah, that's right. We're finished with this rabble-rouser, this revolutionary. This guy's been causing all this commotion. Now we're finished with a guy. Good riddance. And when Jesus said it is finished, I'm sure Pilate thought, well, you know, my political headaches are finished. The guy's dead, because there's been nothing but trouble for me since I heard about him. When the religious leaders heard Jesus say, it is finished, they're thinking, our competition is finished. We've gotten rid of him, because he was far more popular than we were. And they envied Jesus. And they said, he's finished. I mean, even the disciples, when they heard Jesus say it is finished, were thinking, yep, the kingdom's finished. Our dream of a new kingdom, our dream of the kingdom of God, is finished. It's gone. And even I think the devil misunderstood this. I think when Jesus said, it is finished, Satan thought, I've won. I have killed God. I've won. And the Son of God is finished. But here's the thing. Jesus did not say, I am finished. Because he wasn't. He rose 3 days later. He said, it is finished. These are the three most important words in history. Nothing will ever be more important to you in your life than these three words. It is finished.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. There's more coming up. And when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and free podcast. And follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like us to send you a copy of this entire sermon series in a boxed 7-CD set or via MP3 download, just let us know. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope today. You'll get all 7 messages in the series, including portions we didn't have time for during the broadcast. The 7 Greatest Words of Love complete audio collection is perfect for when you're in the car, at the market, or at the gym. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
What was Jesus saying on the cross when he gave the word of victory? What was finished? His suffering? Yeah. His humiliation? Yeah. His pain? Yes. but much, much, much more. What I want to do this weekend in all of our campuses of Saddleback is explain to you the five things that Jesus accomplished. This is Christianity 101. This is the basic gospel in a nutshell. If you've ever wondered, what are we all about? What is church all about? Maybe you have another religious background, no religious background. What is Christianity all about? I'm going to explain it to you in this session. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was talking about five very specific benefits to your life and to my life. And we're going to look at them this weekend. Now, first thing I want to explain to you is that this phrase, "it is finished," these three words in the Bible, which was originally the New Testament, was written in Greek, is only one word. It's one word. We translate it, "it is finished." But when Jesus shouted, "it is finished," he actually said the word tetelestai. Tetelestai. And he cried out at the top of his voice, tetelestai. Now, in ancient Greek, tetelestai was a beautiful word. It was a well-known word, it was a common word, and it had a lot of different usages. In fact, there were five major uses. And when Jesus talks and says and shouts out, "it is finished," he's implying all five of these are finished in his work here on earth. He says, "I've got to finish the work that the Father sent me to do." Now, one of the ways that tetelestai was used is a servant would use it. A servant would come in having completed all of his assignments, done all of his tasks, finished his jobs, and he'd come in and he'd say to his master, to his employer, "Master, tetelestai," which means, "I finished all the work you gave me to do." That's what it meant. Tetelestai meant, "Boss, I got it all done, okay? I got it all done. It's all finished. The job you gave me is completed." And that's how a servant would use it. A judge, actually, this is a judicial term too, a judge would use this in a courtroom. And a judge would bang the gavel down and say, "tetelestai," meaning the sentence has been served and paid for. Justice has been served. And so, for instance, if you had gone to prison for a crime and you had done the time and you were coming back before the judge and he's now going to release you because you have paid for your crime, you have done your time, he would say, and he would stamp on your prison document, "tetelestai," which means justice has been served. Okay. You have done the time. You've paid the penalty. Okay, and that's what the word meant to judicial setting. Now, accountants, which would be a third way, use this in another way. It was a business term, and it actually meant paid in full. And they actually would make stamps that said "tetelestai," and when you paid off a bill, they'd stamp it "tetelestai." In fact, even today, archaeologists have found many, many old papyri, that's old, you know, old paper made out of plants, old papyri of tax records with the word "tetelestai" stamped on it. It meant paid in full. You have no more debt anymore. It's been paid off. The debt has been canceled. Interestingly enough, this word was also used by artists, "tetelestai." And an artist, when they were painting with either pastels or watercolor or whatever they use in charcoal, as they had finished a painting and they made the final brush stroke on that painting, the artist would say, "tetelestai," which means the painting is finished. The picture is done. All the details are there. It's been completed. There's nothing more to add to this picture. An artist would use it. Finally, this word would also be used by priests in the temple, in the Jewish temple. And when they offered a sacrifice, which had to be a perfect sacrifice, could not be a blemished lamb, and when they offered the sacrifice, the priest would then say, in Greek, "tetelestai," which means the sacrifice has been made. Every one of those five things, five ways the word was used, Jesus was using it in the same way when he says and shouts on the cross, after dying on the cross, "tetelestai." So what did Jesus finish on the cross? As I said, this is the single most important phrase in your life. If Jesus hadn't said this, there is no hope for your life. None. No hope of heaven, no hope of God's power in your life, no hope of the promises being fulfilled. None of that's going to happen. But Jesus did say it. This is Christianity in a nutshell. So what did Jesus finish when he says it's finished? What did he complete? What did he accomplish? I'll write these down. Five things. Number one, the first thing Jesus accomplished was this. He fulfilled what God had promised us. He fulfilled what God had promised us. Now, last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked to you about that in the Old Testament, for thousands of years, God had been predicting that he was going to send a Savior. And there are over 380 of these predictions. They're called prophecies. 380 of these predictions over thousands of years. He said, here's how you're going to know when it's me coming to earth. And he has all these conditions, and we went through that a couple weeks ago. 380 prophecies about the coming Savior, the coming Messiah. But there are not only prophecies or predictions in the Bible, there are promises. And there are many, many promises. And Jesus, when he dies on the cross, fulfills every promise that God has made to you. Let me show you a couple of verses. Luke chapter 24, Jesus said this. By the way, this story that I'm reading happens after the cross. He's resurrected, and he's actually walking down the street a few days later, the week after he's died on the cross. So Jesus said, this is on the road to Emmaus, Jesus said, this is what I told you while I was still with you. In other words, before I died on the cross. Now he's back to life, and he's telling this to some people. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible. In the prophets, and in the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what was written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Jesus said, this was predicted, and this was promised, and I just fulfilled it a few days ago. He said, I'm fulfilling. Now, you're never going to find Jesus' name in the Old Testament. But all of the predictions and all the prophecies of what he would do, what he would say, where he'd be born, how he would die, and all of those things we looked at a couple weeks ago are there. He fulfilled the promises that God had given to us. Look at the next verse there. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All of God's promises, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in him. Who? That's Jesus. And he says, that's why we say amen when we give glory to God through Christ. You know, whenever we come to worship, we sing songs of praise. We just sang some. In fact, I want to do another one. I want to do another one right now because I think we should just stop and say, thank you, Jesus, that you have fulfilled all of the promises that God made to us because you said it is finished. And the first thing you did is you fulfill the scripture, so we know that you did it. When Jesus died on the cross and he said these three words, it is finished, he was announcing five benefits to you. The first one, he fulfilled what God had promised us. He fulfilled all the scripture, all the prophecies, all of the promises. Number two, this is a big one. He satisfied what God's justice required. He satisfied what God's justice required. Now, let me explain this to you. God is a God of justice. He is eminently fair. God cannot be unfair. God is a God of justice and truth and righteousness and holiness and always does what's right and can never do what's wrong. So God is a God of justice, and God is a God of order, and God is a God of laws, and God is a God of fairness. Now, the only reason the universe works is because that's God's nature. God wired the universe to run on certain laws. There are laws of physics. God designed them all. There are laws in astronomy. There are laws in chemistry. There are laws in the environment. There are physical laws. There's the law of gravity. How about if the law of gravity just worked every other day? And it was totally unreliable. God's laws always work all the time. And so God designed the entire universe so that rotations work and gravities work and the laws of thermodynamics work. All of God's laws are immutable. Now, there are laws of physics, as I said. There are physical laws. There are spiritual laws. There are moral laws. And there are relational laws. God is a God of justice and law. Now, God gave the moral laws to Moses and to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. And the Jews were to take the moral laws and share them with everybody else. You've heard the phrase that the Jews are God's chosen people. It's true. What were they chosen to do? They were chosen to be the purveyors or the ambassadors of God's moral law to everybody else, those of us who are not Jews. That's what they were chosen to do, to take the word of God and to take the truth of God and to pass on the laws of God to everybody else. Now, human beings, you and I, we have two problems with the laws of God. Number one, we are completely unable to keep them all. Okay, we just can't keep them all. In fact, here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 8. The law of Moses could not save us because our sinful nature. But God put into effect a different plan. This is like a plan B. God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. And God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's what he was doing on the cross. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished, finished, satisfied, completed. For us, who no longer follow our own sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit, is what the rest of that verse says. Now, Jesus is the only person in human history who ever kept all of God's law perfectly, because he was the Son of God. Now, the first problem we have is that we're completely unable to keep all of God's laws. The second problem we've got is this: justice demands that lawbreakers pay the consequences. You don't have laws, and then if you break them, nothing happens. There are certain laws. There are laws of sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, your body pays for it. There are laws, if you don't exercise, your body pays for it. If you eat the wrong foods, your body pays for it. You are free on this planet to do anything you want to. God gives you that freedom, but you are not free from the consequences. I'm free to go out, get drunk, cause accidents, and I'm free to do that. God gives me that freedom. He does not give me the freedom from the consequences of it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, no problem. Just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. If you'd like us to send you a copy of this entire series on an audio CD or via MP3 download, just let us know. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. You'll get everything you've heard today, along with every message in the series, including portions we didn't have time for. The 7 Greatest Words of Love complete audio collection is perfect for when you're in the car, at the market, or at the gym. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
The Bible says we can look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to be revealed. Imagine what that day is going to be like. That's the hope we stand on. And that's our daily hope. Thanks for listening. God bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.